We're doing Rav Chalap and Pashat Korach. Our topic is Machloket Korach Vadatoy Moshe. Now Korach and his men, their argument against Moshe, and it breaks down into three topics, three subcategories. Number one, Moshe's greatness was a constant elevation where he never stopped growing. Topic number two is Korach wanted to stop that. To connect only to that which we sense in the here and now. And topic number three, which I don't know if we'll get to today, is the idea that Moshe encapsulizes all of Israel. Those are the three subtopics. Okay, number one, the concept of Kedusha, holiness, is where you fuse together that which can be sensed and that which is beyond our senses. There are things we perceive with our senses, and then there are things that are beyond our senses. Kedusha, holiness, is the fusion of the two. And this is said with regards to our recognition and connection to Hashem, blessed be He. We have Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And they all stand in service of Hashem. That's their holiness. They're going to connect what can be perceived with what can't. We have the land of Israel, which we say is holier than any other land. In the land of Israel, we have that connection between what you perceive in the land, what you don't perceive. And the land connects us, connects the two. If we only connect it to the Ribon Shel Olam on the perceived level, so then you'd say that connection is very limited. We live in a finite world. Yet, when we think of God, so then, are we supposed to think of Him in finite terms? Will a person say, I connect to God on my terms? I live in a finite world. People are born. People die. People are limited. People take a specific space. All of these concepts, we say, are not concepts pertaining to God. So when we speak about God, we are talking about connecting our finite perception. The way we live in a finite world, we are trying to wrap our heads around Hashem, who is not limited to our finite concepts. Well, just as we say Hashem is infinite and beyond our perception as well, so too we say our capacity to connect to Him is also infinite. If you think about that, that's a key concept. The idea that in the afterlife, man connects in a greater way to God, his soul goes back closer to its creator and connects to the infinite. We believe that when a man dies, only the body remains finite and decomposes, but the soul connects to the infinite. If one were to deny this concept, so then one thinks that he is only limiting God at the end. But in fact, one who denies the concept is also denying the truth at the very beginning. Because if we're denying the infinite concept of God, so then you're actually uprooting all concept of connection to God.
You're denying what?
When we speak about God, we speak about infinite. We speak about beyond our perception. And when one denies that, he's not only denying what will be in a million years. He's also denying the present. And in fact, he is really uprooting the very concept of connecting to Hashem. It's not that a person says, I connect to the Ribon Shel Olam like I connect to my wife, so I connect. No. If you've put the Ribon Shel Olam, if you've discussed it in these mundane terms and brought it down to finite concepts, then you've really uprooted the concept in its entirety.
This is connected to the soul, the true self connects to Hashem afterwards. And if you deny
right.
that, if you're not living that, you're also not, you're dead while here.
Right.
Boy, that takes, and you, another Thursday night, you'll say, correct, and has huge implications.
Yes, we spoke of that a little bit last night. But, again, we approach Hashem and we say, there's the finite concept and the infinite concept. And our connection to Kedusha, our connection to Hashem, is that we connect on both levels. We say, Hashem is infinite. and then that connection gives us light back into our finite world. When we connect, and we do connect both concepts, as we said, that the concept of holiness is when we fuse that which we sense, which that which is beyond our senses. So then when a person connects to Hashem and says, I know I'm connecting to the infinite, I'm connecting to something that's beyond my perception, well, then Hashem's infinite light actually lights up our finite world. And suddenly our connection to Hashem gets an eternal dimension. It's not just about now. When a wife asks her husband, till when will you love me? So smart husband answers, forever. But does he really mean forever? Meaning, does he mean until the grave, or does he mean forever? So if he's honest, he means until the grave. Until his grave. Because he doesn't know what will be beyond the grave. Meaning, people will sometimes say, will we be married in the afterlife? And here we have to take a step back and say, we have no concept of what happens afterwards. Chazal reveal some of it to us, but most of it we have no clue. So do you care in the afterlife? Are you married when you go to heaven? Is there such a thing as a man and a woman? So Chazal tell us that husband and wife go to heaven together, and on certain things they even give an accounting together. Not everything is individualistic in the world to come. But when you talk about love, when you talk about connection, so in all honesty, you have to say, I have no clue what happens after this life. Here I'm connected to you, here we're married, that's wonderful, and I intend to love you until the day we die. With the Rabbon Shalom, it's not that way. With the Rabbon Shalom, part of our connection is we connect to the infinite. And we say, even in our davening, I'm not only talking about now. I'm talking about the long-term connection with the Rabbon Shalom, which is not limited to this world. And so our connection with the Rabbon Shalom has a dimension that no other connection has. It has the dimension of the infinite. Now he introduces a Kabbalistic concept that when we speak about the infinite, we also assume that no two moments are the same. That's the idea of Olam Haba. That in this world, every thrill has an end. And in the world to come, that's the idea of Olam Haba. The next moment is greater than the previous moment. There's never an end. When you're dealing with the infinite, so then there's never a ceiling. There's constant growth. There's constant evolvement. And in that vein, says Rav Harlap, in one's life, so then one can also continue growing and sensing that Hashem's in his life. And our sages say, when Adam was created, so the angels all declared, why are you bothering with man? What's he worth your time? And then the angels wanted to give song before Hashem, and man gives song before Hashem. How did that happen? Man grew. Man grew quickly after he was born, to the point that the angels looked at him and said, what a creature you created, how awesome. Because man evolved and grew. Says Rav Harlap, that's a fundamental concept in all of humanity. It's not only in the world to come that there's infinite growth, in this world too, man can continue growing. He's already tapped into that. Moshe taught Israel the concept of holiness. And Moshe kept growing. When you met Moshe today, it wasn't the Moshe you'd meet tomorrow. Moshe kept growing. They asked the Rav of Brisk, can you give yesterday's class again? And he said, no. They said, why not? He said, because I'm not the same person. I can't give the same class twice. I can't. I'm not where I was yesterday. Today it'll come out different. I've grown since yesterday. How could I give yesterday's class again? The class is the product of where you're holding. Well, hopefully you're not in the same place you were yesterday. So you can't give yesterday's class again. So Am Yisrael can't recognize Moshe. He's shining because Moshe keeps growing.
But does not Israel also keep growing?
He teaches them to keep growing. That's one of the concepts Moshe taught them. And Moshe doesn't even know that he's shining, because each time that Hashem spoke to Moshe, his shine changed. He became a different person. And so when Moshe comes down, they can't even talk to him. So Moshe keeps growing. And Am Yisrael sees that he's shining. And Moshe puts the cover on. He's talking to them on their level. He's giving them the Torah the way they can perceive it. There's a constant. Even though Moshe is not a constant.
But it doesn't go, correct, you say it's not a constant, and it's not supposed to be. I mean,
right.
People, you know, ups and downs. Even Moshe made mistakes.
What?
I don't know if he made mistakes after.
Sure, he made mistakes, yes.
He
did, right? Yeah.
So,
life is dynamic. It's not only enough.
He was, in some ways, like you say, almost a different species.
The Kuzari writes. Yeah. The Kuzari says that. Kuzari says you have inanimate objects, you have plants, you have living objects, living creatures, you have man, you have Jew, you have Moshe. Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's some. Topics in Zohar that one cannot learn before he gets to the right level. Are there topics that one should not learn before he gets to the right level?
Yeah, we assume that a person will misunderstand them when they're not on the right level. Yeah.
So, which are
Kabbalistic concepts.
Okay. We assume. You've given the example here where people have learned all Talmud wrong.
That's also true. But for that, a person needs a Rebbe. But there's a reason why Torah is given with tradition. If a person is going to work with the text without the living tradition, without a Rebbe, he's going to get it all wrong. There's no way he can get it right. There's no way the Torah was purposely written in a way that you can't get it without a tradition. It's not just informational. Now, the tradition will give you tools over time to be able to work on your own with many works, but you got to have that tradition. Korach wants to deal with what you see. Korach wants to deal with things that are defined. Korach wants to deal with the finite. And so Korach says, why do you guys have to keep growing? Why are you think in order to lead the people, you're going to keep going up? Korach comes back and says, everyone's holy. God's in the midst of all of us. Korach is saying, God is finite and limited. God is the way we perceive him now. You don't have to constantly grow and expand and evolve. Why do you keep growing over the people of Israel? Moshe says, I keep growing. They should keep growing. Life is a growth process. Korach says, we're holy now. Korach wants life to be the way we know it. Korach wants things in the finite sense. Moshe hears and falls on his face. He hears Korach's argument. He hears how Korach expects Moshe to be more one of them. He says, the leader should be like us. And Moshe is suspect by Korach. Moshe is being told by Korach that you're way above where you should be, Moshe. And so Moshe falls on his face. Moshe tells them, you know, I hid my face when God wanted to reveal himself to me. And the only reason I merited to reach this level of growth was because I did not try to go where I shouldn't go. When Hashem initially tried to reveal himself to me, I hid myself. Now you're telling me you're going above and beyond where you should be? No, I'm the person who Hashem says I'm talking to you, and I hide my face, I don't look. And in that merit, Hashem tells him, I will show you what I didn't show any other human being. Moshe tells him, "V'nachnu ma?" He tells the people, what are you complaining to us? We haven't asked for anything here. All we're doing here is trying to connect to Hashem, and Hashem allows us to continue growing. What's your argument? You're way above the people. You shouldn't be there? No. Hashem is choosing what growth he's giving us. Yes?
You said last week about the with the meat, how Moshe didn't understand the people.
I said Drashot Aran. Yes.
Drashot Aran. It was the same concept, that he was so above them that he didn't understand what they were doing.
The Drashot Aran says that was the people's claim to him. Their claim was, you don't sense our mundane needs.
Right, so I'm saying it's the same claim.
It's on a different level, because here, Korach's claim is, in Moshe's spirituality, Moshe should be more limited. Korach's claim is, you're way above the people, you should be down with the people.
Okay.
And Moshe says, I'm not a person who strives for more than I should be. I've never been. I strive to do the will of Hashem, and Hashem gives me the growth Hashem gives me. It's not me who says, let me advance. It's me who says I want to be as close as to Hashem as I could be. At the end of the Torah it says, Vayamot Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe the servant of Hashem died there. So the Talmud says, what does that mean? It's telling us, just as in this world Moshe was a constant servant of Hashem, so too in the next world he's a constant servant of Hashem. What does that mean? When we use descriptory terms towards heaven, we're not only talking about the past, we're also talking about the present. So if we say, Hashem will be mechayemitim, it's not just Tchiyat HaMetim, Hashem will resurrect the dead once in the future. It's a constant today. This concept is a Ritva. The Ritva says when we say the blessing, we say it. We say, Ata Gibor Le'olam Hashem, you are an eternal mighty. You are eternally mighty, Hashem. Mechaye Metim, you resurrect the dead. What does that mean? So the Ritva says in the blessing, we speak about three or four types of Tchiyat HaMetim. One of them is the one that we see on a daily basis. We see trees go dormant in the winter and come back to life in the summer. We see people who are dead, and in our day and age, they can have a defibrillator and they come back to life. In Chazal's time, there were other forms of people who returned from certain death. So Tchiyat HaMetim is not just what will be the resurrection of the dead. There's resurrection of the dead in our life today as well. Part of it, you see, a person lies dormant when he sleeps and he wakes up and suddenly he's filled with life. But part of it is also in medical circumstances or in nature. So Rav Chalap says, when we speak about an attribute of Hashem, it is something that's a constant in the world. In the Kings it says, so-and-so died, and then so-and-so was king instead of him. So-and-so died, and then so-and-so was king instead of him. Because you always have to have a death in order to have a new king, right? So this is an allegory for concepts in the world. There's, so to speak, the previous concept has to die, and a new concept comes in. When the scientific method came in, so then all kinds of other methods, all kinds of superstitions died. So in order for something new to come to life, something else had to die, right? That's in our life. So in our life, in order for a new idea to be born, an old concept has to die. But that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam. What was is, what is will be. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not changing like concepts in our world. In our world, the old has to die in order for the new to be born. Now, in our life, this concept can also, when we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, this concept also has truth. The Torah that Moshe taught on day one, when he taught the Torah of day two, did yesterday's Torah die? When Moshe teaches Torah, when we learn Torah and we evolve, do we reach a point where today's truth destroys what we said yesterday was a lie? You learn Bereishis, you learn Shmos, now Bereishis isn't true? No. The growth is I can have continued life and growth, and this is where we connect to the infinite. One of the greatnesses of the Torah is that the Torah doesn't change. I mentioned earlier this week, 100 years ago, there wasn't almost a place on the planet where a woman can own land or vote or sue her husband. It didn't exist at the turn of the century. So suddenly the world adopted all kinds of approaches. But 100 years ago, I'm talking about the world's been around for a few thousand years. Up until 100 years ago, there almost wasn't a place on the planet where a woman can own land, sue her husband, talk in court. But in Judaism, that's been the case for over 3,000 years. A woman could own land. A woman could sue her husband. We look at the concept of the Torah. One of the great attributes of the Torah is that the Torah gives us a moral, ethical system that's a constant. The Torah doesn't change because truth doesn't change. Truth is not just a subject to interpretation, subject to the times. No. When Hashem creates the world and says, I'm telling you what's right, let me tell you what's right. Hashem gives us a Torah, and when Hashem creates humanity and says, I know you, and I'm giving you a Torah, a way of life that's good for you, that doesn't have to change. Human nature doesn't change. Why are classics classics? Why is it that Shakespeare is a classic? Because the themes are eternal. The themes are eternal because humanity, as sophisticated as humans become, the concepts are eternal. Well, that's why the Torah is eternal. And that's why the truth of the Torah is not, this has to die in order for that to be created. But I build on what I had before. It's constant life. He goes into Kabbalistic concepts here that I don't understand. It's not that I'm not teaching because you won't understand. It's because I don't understand. I don't know these concepts that he goes into over here, this continuous growth of life. Hashem wanted Am Yisrael to be led in the way of Moshe, constant growth. And Am Yisrael tells Moshe, you talk, we don't want to hear directly from God. Am Yisrael senses that they're going to have to die. They have to be new creatures. Where they are holding today, they can't have God talk to them the way God talks to Moshe. In the beginning of the Ten Commandments, God's talking to them. And they say, we're not built for this. We can't. We can't continue living the way we've been living until now. We have to die. We have to come back as different people. We can't continue from here to that level of growth. And they were scared of death. And they were scared of that growth. And they said, you talk to us. And that's what Korach said. Korach said, we can't continue growing. You're pulling us to levels we can't get to. You, Moshe, have reached levels we're not there. We're all holy, on our level of holiness, not on yours. But Moshe, the way a true leader should be, Moshe was encompassing of Am Yisrael. And whatever you was potential in Israel was revealed in Moshe. And so Moshe says, none of this is me. We discussed earlier in the week that in the days of Hillel, there were many people who were fit for prophecy. But they did not get prophecy because the people weren't on the level. And the leader is a reflection of the people. And it doesn't matter how great he is. He could be on the level of Moshe, but he won't get the prophecy of Moshe if the people aren't on the level. Moshe was able to bring up the people. Moshe was connected to the people. So Moshe got the prophecy that was a reflection of the people. And that's why Moshe could pray on behalf of the Jewish people. But Korach wasn't there. Korach denied that unity. And Korach denied the unity, which is actually the source of greatness. The leader is only great because he's connected to the people. So Korach says, we're all great. In other words, we're all individuals who are great. And Moshe is saying, we're all great as one. We're not all great as individuals. We have different strengths, but as a unified force, I might have the task of leader, but I'm a part of the greater whole. Korach was saying, no. Every one of us has his own pan. Moshe was saying, no. When Aaron has his pan, he's representing all of us. Korach says, no. God is in the midst of every person. Every person is his own servant of Hashem. Moshe says, we're all servants, but part of a greater whole. And so Korach works to arouse jealousy in the Jewish people. The people start being jealous of Moshe. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Vaykanul Moshe b'machane." The Gemara says, "What does it mean, Vaykanul Moshe b'machane?" It means every person told his wife, "I don't want you to be alone with Moshe. I don't trust him." Says Rav Charlap, "This is when it happened." On the night that Korach got the people aroused, people started telling their wives, I'm scared of you being alone with Moshe. I'm warning you, don't be alone with him. What are you doing? Moshe isn't even with his own wife, right? His own wife is complaining that ever since he's become a prophet, he doesn't talk to me. You're worried about him with your wife. Moshe is the holy of holies. Ah, but Korach was able to touch that element of jealousy. When we're not one, so then I'm jealous of the other. If he and I are one, so we play different roles. There isn't room for jealousy. But Korach was able to undermine that. And so the people started being jealous of Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe says, that's not true. Hashem chooses one. He is holy. Well, he represents a unified holiness. Moshe tells Korach, you know, God gave you your responsibility among the people of Israel. The root of Korach's error was that Korach thought, we are separate, we're Levites, we're people unto ourselves. And so once he began with that concept, so it led him to think, I'm supposed to be even greater because I'm the Levite. Well, if I'm the Levite and I see myself as a standalone, not as a servant of the people, so then I can also evolve into, well, I want more greatness.
But he's still then the head of a collective. I'm getting confused here.
Being ahead but a part of the whole, when I see it as the only reason I have a position is because of the people, how does Korach imagine? If the rest of the people disappeared, would he still have a special role? The answer is no, but Korach thought yes. When a person sees his position as being a separate entity, I am a Levite, and not I am a servant of the people. If I'm a part of the greater whole, then I understand that I'm merely a servant of theirs. I have this task. Korach imagined that if there would be no Jewish people and only Korach, Korach would still be the Levite he was. That was a mistake.
Is that what his goal was? Was Korach's goal just for all of us to be individuals and I will be the best individual because look at me, I'm Korach, I'm the Levite? Or was it to replace Moshe as the head of B'nai Israel?
Not only to replace Moshe, but in his mind, the leader was a standalone. Moshe and Aaron say, we are connectors between the people and God. Our holiness reflects the people. Our speech reflects what God told us to say. It is nothing about us. Your argument has nothing to do with me.
But what was it? I'm trying to figure out what is... Korach, I'm learning here that Korach's goal was in...
Korach's goal was to be...
Separation.
He wanted to be the leader, but he wanted to be the leader in a severed role, where the leader is in his ivory castle. Everyone looks up to him because he is great. When Korach sees a vision of prophecy and Korach sees that he will be the progenitor of Shmuel, Korach sees it as, I, Korach, am great. Korach does not see it as, I have responsibility to the people and as their servant and as a part of the people, I have a task with them to be in that role of greatness. And there's a world of a difference between the two.
You can see why it was so popular. He said, not only am I so great, I want you to be so great. Why do you have to be subservient to Moshe? Right? Seems like that's what he was saying.
Yeah, and even when Aaron is chosen, Aaron's staff goes in the middle of all the staffs, which reflects the concept his greatness is only because he's in the middle of everyone. He's a part of everyone. He gets his strength from them. And that's why everyone sees that he has blossomed, because his greatness represented that he was most connected to everyone. Moshe and Aaron's greatness stemmed from their connection to the people. Korach is denying it. You guys are standalones. You're great. Because Korach in his own mind wants to be standalone and great. And we're up to the final two sentences. Rav Chalap says, it says in the end of the parasha, everyone saw their staff and took it. So what does it mean everyone saw their staff and took it? Because Korach had convinced them that being the priest is its own entity. They are the priests. Korach had approached it with the thought, I am a Levite. And Korach then thought also the Kohanim were only their own right, their Kohanim. And so then you have jealousy. The Aaron's staff had blossomed from within the other staffs to remind them that Aaron's only strength was as a public servant, as their representative. From within them, he could grow. Not as a separatist, not as the one above, but rather as the one that grows from within. And when every Nasi saw that Aaron's was the middle staff, everyone's staff was all around. They each took their staff. They all accepted the idea that the task of the Kohanim is to serve the people, perhaps in a position above them, but above them, stemming from them. And that's where the fight ended. Because the fight began with Korach standing alone, seeing himself as an individual who should be above everyone. And the fight concludes at the end of the parasha when everyone sees the staffs united and see that Aaron's staff blossoms stemming from the strength of the other staffs.